Welcome to the Straight Cheese No Lettuce podcast show. I am your host slash owner of the restaurant, Mr. Matthew Newton. And today we have two special guests that are really close to me. First, she is my sister, Miss Adrienne Newton. And the second person is my cousin, Dr. Kevin Nixon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So just to keep everybody on the even playing field, please say your educational credentials. Ladies first.
All right. So I'm Adrienne Newton, his sister, as he mentioned. So I have an undergraduate degree, bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from Howard University. I also have my MBA from the University of Alabama in Birmingham. And I also have my professional engineering license.
Dr. Nixon.
So, hi again. My name's Dr. Kevin Nixon, Matthew's cousin. So, I have my bachelor's degree in chemical engineering from Auburn University, and then went on to obtain my PhD in chemical engineering from Texas A&M University.
Okay. So, let's get chemical, I guess you could say. If that's a joke, I don't know. I'm just trying to break the ice. But let's start at the beginning. When y'all was in high school, what was the deciding factor to make you say, I want to do chemical engineering as a major? Was it a teacher, a class, just an inkling for science? Like, what was it? Ladies first.
So for me, I really liked science and math. I really liked chemistry. So I really was kind of focused on majoring in chemistry. And I had a calculus teacher who actually introduced me to engineering and very strongly encouraged me to look beyond just chemistry and do engineering. I actually joined an engineering group that I can't remember the name. It was JETS. I can't remember what it stood for, but we did engineering type like tournaments, kind of like math team, but for engineering. And then also one career day, we had a chemical engineer actually come to class and talk about what they do. And at that moment time, I used to be really into like fingernail polish and even like lip gloss, and they talked about chemical engineers and process and making that kind of stuff. And so that's what led me to major in chemical engineering.
Okay, Dr. Nixon?
So I'd say my journey to chemical engineering started a bit early. I can remember as young as 5 years old actually proclaiming that I wanted to be a chemical engineer, and it was probably about 100% motivated by Miss Adrienne Newton here. So I definitely looked up to her a lot when I was little. So I definitely, from back then, was claiming I wanted to be a chemical engineer without really knowing exactly what it was. But then, similar to what Adrienne said, going through school, middle school, and high school, found that I had an affinity for math and science courses. So I really liked chemistry as well as my math courses. And then when I took physics, enjoyed that. And even at one point wanted to not major in chemical engineering, but was actually thinking of majoring in chemistry. And after some discussions with my cousin here, as well as had an opportunity to actually talk to a chemist who has a PhD as well, was encouraged to think more about chemical engineering. So I ended up switching to chemical engineering as my major and stuck with that.
Okay. As you said in the beginning, when y'all mentioned your college, Adrienne, you went to a HBCU, and Kevin, you went to a PWI. Like, what was the decision making for that? Their program, you had scholarships, or just like any, meeny, miny, mo? Like, what was your decision in picking your college of choice?
So for me, initially, I was looking in state. And so I initially was kind of focused on the University of Alabama, Huntsville. I didn't want to go to Auburn or Alabama because I felt like that's where all my high school went. And then when I decided that I wanted to go to HBCU, I looked at Alabama A&M, and they didn't have a chemical engineering program. I applied for Tuskegee, but at that time I was really looking to go out of state. And so I looked at North Carolina A&T and Howard were my two HBCUs that I were looking at out of state. And Howard gave me a full ride versus North Carolina A&T. Their out-of-state fees didn't cover all the costs. So they gave me a scholarship, but it didn't cover all the costs. And so Howard's did. And so I ended up going to Howard, which worked out because I actually have family that lives in the area. So, like, our uncle lives up there and cousins live up there in Maryland. So that's how I ended up at Howard.
Dr. Nixon?
Yeah, for me, I think for me, my number one priority was staying in state. After taking some of the standardized testing, like ACT, seeing what that would get me in terms of scholarships for some of the out-of-state schools, it just didn't really add up for me. And I didn't want to be, if I was going out of state, I didn't want to go nearly as far as Adrian did. Going to Howard, maybe I was a bit, like, having memories as a kid, not seeing her as much coming home, so I didn't want to be that far away. And so I decided that I wanted to stay in state. In terms of HBCU versus PWI, Adrian already brought it up, but in the state of Alabama, there's only one chemical engineering program and at HBCU, and that's Tuskegee. And that is a private institution, so tuition was a bit expensive. And so from there, I was like, okay, well, I think I want to go to a public institution. And then at that point, I was just looking at the strongest chemical engineering program mixed with what initiatives or programs they had, you know, for either student success or more specifically student success of, you know, students from predominantly underrepresented populations. And so the best combination, at least at the time that I could find, was Auburn University. And I guess to be the opposite of Adrian on this, I actually chose Auburn a little bit more because about a third of my graduating class was going to Auburn. So I knew I wouldn't feel alone my freshman year. That was a little bit of a scary piece of the transition to college for me. I was a bit worried about not making friends or connections just because of my introverted nature. And so that actually kind of eased my, I guess, my anxiety a bit with transitioning to college.
Okay. So when you was in college, was there a particular class or moment that said, oh, I need to change up my whole study habits, my whole game plan going to college. This ain't high school anymore. Do you have any classes that remind you, like chemistry 101, maybe?
I would say when I first got to college, because in high school they had already said, oh, college is not like high school. So I already went in with that mindset. So I knew I had to study, I had to focus, and like every class. I would say that first year wasn't as big of a transition, only because I already was like expecting it to be more accountability on myself and like the teachers not looking out for you, or which they do look out for you in college, but like I went into it thinking that they didn't just because of what people told me. But really, I would say it was probably my junior year, well, sophomore year is when I started taking chem-e classes, where it was like, and I had a professor, Dr. Cannon, who, he was just very, just a very cool professor, black guy, just one of the best professors that we had. And like, he was really when I started to be like, oh yeah, I want to be a chemical engineer like him, and learn in the course. So it was probably that intro to chemical engineering class. I think it was Mass. I can't remember the name of it, but I remember the red book that we took two semesters. But that was kind of like the true introduction into chemi classes that was like, okay, yep, I'm on the right path.
Mr. Nixon?
I'd say the same for me. The freshman year courses, you know, more the general ed, so you're taking your chemistry, your calculus one, maybe physics one, and things like that, wasn't really too difficult in terms of like material. As Adrian alluded to, a little bit more of just learning how to manage things was different. You know, like your teacher or your professors aren't necessarily going to be on you for every assignment. You have a syllabus and things are listed out when they're due and you're expected to do that. So that was an adjustment. But really, I think for me, the first course I was like, okay, this is different, was for me the first chemical engineering course. And at Auburn, it was called Principles of Chemical Engineering. And it was basically where you learn how to do, I think it was energy, material, and mass balance, which is like pivotal for chemical engineers. And what really made it difficult, it wasn't, you know, necessarily the content, it was the way you had to think about problems. So you had to approach problems from an engineering mindset. And at least for me, I think I can speak for others that were at least in the course with me, was a bit of a difficult transition. It's a pretty steep learning curve. And so that's where I really, you know, found out that like, okay, I'm gonna have to buckle down. Like, I was a studious student in high school, and most students that go into chemical engineering usually were pretty studious in high school, but that's where you really start to feel the heat a bit.
So, as you both alluded to, y'all went to vastly different colleges, vastly different experiences. So, when you was around core of your peers, around core of your like other chemical engineers or just engineers in general, how was the atmosphere around that? Like, were they all like, I'm like, I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody, but were they like all talk and no grades or what?
I would say for me, so like you alluded to, I went to a historically black college and university, Howard University. So you already had top students that were there in the engineering. And I think it's across the board, you really do have like the cream of the crop that are there and that are studying and that wants to do that major. I mean, of course, we had people who started in engineering and changed. And I think that's just, people don't know exactly what it is, or you think you want to do this and then you're like, no, I don't want to do this. So you switch your major, which that's very common just across the board for, I would think, any degree. People can get into something and then realize, oh, that's not what I want to do. But the atmosphere, because Howard, we had smaller class sizes. So like I knew everybody that I had was in my graduating class. And so we had study groups together. Like we were all helping each other along the way. I knew the upperclassmen, even to this day, my best friend, she was in civil engineering, but like we're still friends to this day. So it was I would say just in itself, engineering building community, just because it is a smaller school. So it's just a more community there already established.
Okay, Dr. Nixon.
Having gone to a slightly larger PWI, which is predominantly white institution, Auburn University, was a little bit different. With there just being more students, you probably just won't have the chance to know everyone. That can be a bit difficult. So my graduating class in chemical engineering was 90 students, and I knew most of them, but not everyone. And then, of course, going to a PWI, the majority of the class didn't look like me. So out of my graduating class of 90, five of us were black in chemical engineering. And so in terms of finding the community of people that look like you, it has to be sometimes in organizations outside of your classes. So one of them was the National Society of Black Engineers, so NSBE for short. That was really helpful in terms of finding, you know, a ton of engineers that looked like me, and it was a family. And then at Auburn, we also had this minority engineering program. At the time was known as the Academic Excellence Program, but now is known as the Center for Inspiring Engineering Excellence. So it was similar to NSBE, had a goal of improving the recruitment and retention of underrepresented students in engineering. So while you may sometimes, you know, being from an underrepresented community, I felt this sometimes in my engineering classes, feeling sometimes a bit isolated, or just it was very clear that I was one of few. Having those organizations outside of class, you know, kind of helped fill in that gap. And I'll also add, just because this particular discussion or debate happened quite often during my time at Auburn, of like HBCU versus PWI. I can't speak for other majors, but at least in engineering, it doesn't matter. I mean, these are accredited programs, and there's a national accreditation board that goes to these separate colleges and certifies that like this engineering degree is, you know, meets some satisfactory bar. After that, it's up to you what you make with that degree: internships, co-ops, connections. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't really matter. So go somewhere where you feel like you fit there. I would encourage those who may be pursuing it, don't think like, oh, is my, you know, engineering degree from an HBCU gonna be less than because it's not a PWI? I don't know if you've experienced that, Adrian, but I heard that discussion quite a lot while I was at Auburn.
It kind of comes up sometimes, especially when like in the hiring process. I don't know about you two, but like when they see an HBCU, they kind of like grades you on a curve sometimes.
Some of it is, yeah, a bit of familiarity, like, with the school. Sometimes if, depending on what that, like, you know, hiring, they may not be familiar with the school, but you could also say that for some of the smaller liberal arts colleges that are PWIs that I had never even heard of. Like, I'm still hearing about some colleges, and they've been around since, like, the 1850s or something. So it's not even, sometimes it's recognition of the school, but in terms of, some people are worried about whether or not the strength of their degree is the same, and I think it is.
Yeah, I would say it is. It's that unconscious bias. Like, yeah. If you went to Alabama Auburn and you grew up with that, your bias is towards Alabama and Auburn. But it's clear, even like where I work, we actually have a organization geared towards uniting HBCU graduates and alums, and like bringing in like new graduates from HBCUs, and showing that it's a lot of people that are in higher up positions that are senior VPs that graduated from Tuskegee University, you know, directors. My first boss, when I moved back to Alabama, she was a graduate of Tuskegee University. It's other Howard grads, it's Morehouse grads, Spelman grads. I mean, so it really is dependent on you and incumbent on you on what you do with your degree, whether you went to Alabama, whether you went to Howard, whether you went to Tuskegee, whether you went to Vanderbilt. Is upon you on what you make of it, because like Kevin alluded to, like, those programs are accredited, and so you have to work in all of those programs that you are in, especially for engineering.
Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and it's kind of like a personal question of mine, but when I got my degree in criminal justice, the one thing that always pet peeves me is when I used to watch TV shows, and they would do something like, that's not how the law works, and it irks me. As chemical engineers, when you see people use science, whether in TV shows or movies, do you get it, like, I hate to use these terms, but do you kind of like wince and like, that's not how those chemicals work together, that's not how they work? I know it's a thing of mine, but for y'all, like, when y'all watch a movie, does you like
yeah, so I'll say on one end, I don't think chemical engineers are represented in TV very often, which is, I think, to backtrack, why, you know, when Adrian brought up some people don't know what they do, I think that's part of it. Like, you know, when it comes to the law or medicine, there are just a ton of shows that represent that. And then I think when people hear like a chemist or a physicist, there are some things out there, and it's kind of, you can kind of see it from the name, but I feel like when people hear engineers, at least on TV, we think of like mechanical, electrical, so like Iron Man, or, you know, building bridges or railroad tracks. But in terms of chemical engineering, we're not I don't think that field is necessarily represented all that much in TV. But I mean, there are times when I see things on TV, I mean, it's not that often, where I'm like, that might not be scientifically accurate, but for the most part, no, because there just aren't as many of those. Usually it's the most of the time when I'm seeing like science or technology in TV, they're usually doing something that's way more advanced than we necessarily have the capabilities to do right now. So I don't really have the expertise to say whether or not it's doable. Like, I can't look at Iron Man and be like, oh, that's never possible. I don't know. I don't really know. You know, discovering a new element, that might, I don't know, the way he did it in the show might not be as accurate, but I don't know. I'm not an experimental physicist, so I can't really comment.
I have to agree with Kevin.
I think the closest would probably be Breaking Bad. Might be the closest. But he is a chemist. He was a chemistry teacher. Yeah, okay. Most of that stuff I did watch is pretty accurate, though. Like, most of the, I wouldn't repeat that stuff because that's a lot of that's illegal. But it's pretty accurate.
side note, fun fact, they actually got real drug makers to teach them how to make it. No. So you're right, it's illegal.
But more shows are starting to hire scientists, like The Big Bang Theory, the show. A lot of that is so accurate because they actually have hired like actual scientists to vet the things that they're talking about. And one of the actresses actually has a PhD.
Yeah.
So that helps too.
I still don't like the show. Oh boy. Well, this question, I think you already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What's the biggest misconception when it comes to engineers? Like, y'all can do anything possible? Just need the right materials, or?
I think it's a misconception about what an engineer is. I think usually people think, you know, you think of, like Kevin said, building bridges or trains, like, that's what an engineer is. Well, really, an engineer is a problem solver. If I boil it down, an engineer is a problem solver. So, like, I participate in a lot of organizations where we go out and focus on introducing young girls to engineering, because a lot of times they don't know what engineers are. They think they are, like, they work on trains, they build bridges, and they're just white old men. Like, that's really what they think of when they think of engineers, versus to see that it's more broader than that. So it's young people in engineering, it's people that look like them, it's, you know, it's a lot of females in engineering. I mean, not as many as men, it's getting better, but like just to introduce them to see that, okay, it is bigger than just that, you know, train engineer. Like, really, what is engineering? And that is a lot of different facets to engineering. It's not just that one, mechanical or just civil or environmental. Or you have chemical, you have environmental, you have aerospace. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues that you can go with in engineering. So I think that that's probably, to me, the biggest misconception is just not really understanding the scope and the breadth of what engineering covers.
And I'll piggyback to add on to that, not just how broad engineering is, but that what doors engineering can open, because there's so many engineers that are trained engineers that don't actually do engineering. Like, you should Google how many CEOs are just engineers, you know. So it's like Adrian said, you're a problem solver. It doesn't have to be science and math. It's any problem, right? Like, the engineering mindset can be applied to many different fields. There are engineers that go into law, there are engineers that go into medicine, there are engineers that go into business, there are engineers on Wall Street, right? So, like, the degree itself can be used for other things. So you don't have to be the quote-unquote prototypical engineer, which I don't really know what that is, but, like, you know, this introvert that's in a cubicle crunching numbers, you don't have to do that. Are there jobs like that? Definitely. But you don't have to do that, and it can allow you to venture out into other things afterwards if you would like to.
Pursue. Okay. As we said way in the beginning of this episode, Ms. Newton, you got an MBA, and Dr. Nix, you have a doctor, and so the question is, it's going to be the same question, but it's going to split because for y'all. So, Ms. Newton, what made you go the route you took to get an MBA? Why not get your master's, or why not get your doctorates? And for Dr. Nixon, I won't say this. What made you keep going, get your master's doctorate? What made you go that path, Ms. Newton?
So for me, after I finished getting my undergraduate degree, I was ready to get a job doing Kimmy work. And my first job was actually in Kimmy doing true, what you would consider quote-unquote true Kimmy work. I worked in a chemical manufacturing plant. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do true Kimmy work. So just from that, I was already just tired of school. I mean, like, I had been in school, you know, through high school, then through college. I was ready to be done with school. So I wasn't even looking at getting like a master's or a PhD in chemical engineering. And then once I had my first job in true chemical engineering, I was like, well, no, that's not really what I want to keep doing. And so the reason I ended up getting my MBA is where I currently work. So I work in the energy field. So when I would look at jobs posted, it would always have like MBA as, you know, preferred that you would have it, or, you know, not necessarily required, but like a lot of the different opportunities I was looking at, they would always list MBA. And I didn't want that to be the thing that cut me out of being able to apply for a job. So I would have my engineering degree, and so then I went ahead and got my MBA as well. So now that couldn't cut me out of being able to apply for different jobs that came up, which has helped me be able to move and navigate in the company that I'm in. But that's why, for me, is because it really, and I didn't get my MBA till later in life, and it was really because I was at that company and I could see the beneficial, the benefit of having that degree.
Okay. Dr. Nixon?
So for me, going through undergrad, in the beginning, I actually had no desire to get a graduate degree. The goal was to get the bachelor's degree and then get a job also in the energy industry. But I had an opportunity to co-op, which is basically like a year-long internship with the Department of Environmental Management, working as an environmental engineer. And it was a great experience, but from that, found that I wasn't really having the best time. And so going back to Auburn, had a discussion with one of my mentors through, as I talked about before, the Academic Excellence Program, and she suggested that I try research. And so I applied for what's called a research experience for undergraduates, or REU, through the National Science Foundation, and had a wonderful opportunity to work as an undergraduate researcher at Kansas State University for one summer, where I worked on a mathematical, kind of like a computer-aided type engineering research project. And while I found out that I didn't necessarily like the computer-aided piece, I did really enjoy just the practice of conducting research. And so from there, decided that I did want to pursue graduate school and liked some of the career opportunities that would open up from there. And so at that point, it was then deciding between master's or PhD. Just looking at the return on investment and things like that. And like I said, the career opportunities I was looking at, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go into academia and be a professor, or if I did want to stay more of the industrial route and go more research and development, or maybe even a national lab as a scientific researcher. The PhD would give me the most options in between those or amongst those three different routes. So that's what ultimately guided me to go towards the PhD, and I decided to stick with it throughout the PhD.
Hmm. See, I'm glad I had both of y'all on the show at the exact same time, because y'all are literally carbon copies of one another. My sister would do it, and then somehow my cousin will follow suit, not intentionally, right, but will do so.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, he said, and this is to you, Mrs. Newton, when he said the one thing I can quote him saying, that you was his inspiration. So when you hear someone, whether it's our cousin or just someone say, like, you inspire me to become an engineer, does that, how you feel about that?
I would say that I feel honored that obviously he listened to me and he respected my opinion enough to, you know, want to pursue it. Obviously, I wouldn't have suggested something that I didn't think that he could be successful at, or that I didn't think he liked to do. And so it's inspiring for me to see, you know, all that he's done and where he's going and continue to do and pursue. And even for you, it inspires me to see you in this podcast and what you're doing and how you, you know, because I've watched both of y'all grow up. I mean, I feel very old, but I watched both of y'all grow up. So it inspires me to see that y'all both are, you know, what y'all are doing and, you know, the successful ventures that both of y'all have taken and paths. So I'm just a very proud sister, cousin, family member.
So, Dr. Nixon, what does it feel having a, well, you call her inspiration, but she almost felt like also like a mentor. How does it feel having your own cousin be your mentor sometimes? Like the first person, like, I need someone to, like, who understands what I'm going through from a, not only from just from family's perspective, from a chemical engineering program. What do you feel about that?
Yeah. So I'll say first, just blessed, because it just is not typical, especially, you know, we're Black, so we're a part of an underrepresented community. We make up less than 10% of STEM degrees. So to even have the option of having someone in your family that has a degree in STEM was, you know, really crucial. Like I said, being exposed early to STEM and specifically chemical engineering, it was a pivotal piece in kind of having me go down that path. But as you alluded to, having, you know, a family member be a mentor that's just a call away was great. As Adrian knows, I am definitely an introvert, so definitely as an undergrad, not really knowing exactly how to set myself up for success. You know, there's little things that people may not tell you in terms of, oh, you should start looking into co-op, or hey, you should start looking into internships as a freshman. You're just there trying to get used to this new atmosphere, new courses, living on your own and things like that. But having Adrian there to kind of, you know, offer suggestions, not in a pushy way at all, but she just, you know, threw out these little tidbits of, hey, you should look into this, look into that, was super helpful. Or just being able to vent to her about, like, yeah, I don't, you know, like, I don't like thermodynamics. And Adrian be like, yeah, but you go take it anyway. And so, you know, just having someone, I guess a sounding board to just vent to was very helpful. That's honestly a big piece, I think, for engineering is for students. It's not easy, and I don't want it to seem like that, but you can make it. It's difficult, and just having some support system there, whether you go into college with a support system like I had, not everyone is as fortunate, or you find one there, but it's super helpful to have, like I said, a support system, and like thankfully I had Adrian going into college, so yeah.
You mentioned a lot of different programs, STEM, NISB, I've noticed the fact that a lot of people don't, well, YouTube talked about the fact that y'all were ready to be a chemical engineers back in high school, but most of the time people don't know, like, I don't know what I need to do in high school to prepare to be chemical engineers or just engineers in general. Not like, not a hypothetical, like if you was in front of a school, like what needs to be done to get people to prepare for being in chemical engineers or engineers in general? Do they need to focus more on math, at least have understanding of it, more in science, or like what kind of tips could you give students now, if you could?
I would say you definitely need to focus on your math and science classes. Those are important, but also participating in extracurricular activities. I feel like people lose that when they think of engineering and think that, oh, you only got to focus on your math and your grades, but you also have to focus in being a well-rounded person. So being involved in extracurricular activities, because you still got to interact with people even in engineering. So like having, being more well-rounded is I think a necessity. And one of the things I tell when I go speak to groups about engineering and, you know, explaining to them about what they need to be successful, it is, you know, again, it is the grades. It is, you know, it's a high concentration in math and science. But also, even in high school, I would say join organizations where you get exposure to engineering and other STEM subjects to kind of know more about that degree and kind of have even a more well-informed going into college. So like NSBE has what they call NSBE Junior Chapters, or maybe it's called PCI, Pre-College Initiative Chapters, which I've participated in the past, where that's a way for students to learn more about the different engineering disciplines. You have organizations like Girl Inc. You have a lot of nonprofit groups also out there where you can, even as in high school, to start to learn about engineering and get that exposure, because that'll help you knowing what you really want to focus on. Another one is ICANN, which is one of the company sponsor organizations that I'm a part of, where we go into high school, go into middle schools. Actually, we target 7th and 8th grade girls to get them exposed to engineering so that, again, they learn what it is before they get to high school and they've already made up their mind because they haven't been exposed to, say, the engineering discipline. So it gives them a chance to learn about it and also be exposed to people that look like them that's in that field.
Anything to say, Dr.
I have nothing to add.
Well, this has been fun, but we're nearing the end, and the check is almost here. I hope y'all enjoyed your food here, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to have our just desserts. So what I'm going to do, I got a list here. I got 5 questions caught like this or that, and I got 5 that are like first way to pop in your head. So we're going to do the this or that first, and then the first ones that come to pop in your head. So it's okay. Real quick. They might be about chemical engineering. They could be about college, but it's pretty kid friendly. Okay. Okay. Let's go. Favorite season: summer or spring?
Summer.
Summer.
Okay. Which sport you would like to watch on TV if you had to? Basketball or football?
Football.
Basketball.
Okay. Favorite ice cream flavor: strawberry or chocolate?
Strawberry.
Chocolate.
Y'all are so divided. last one on this one. I didn't even know I wrote this one, but I guess I already know the answer, but I won't say anyway. College you would go to on a full ride: Alabama or Auburn?
Auburn.
Auburn.
People at the restaurant, I forgot I wrote that question, and I forgot who I was talking to, but we're going to put this part in. Okay, now switching over to the other desserts. Think of the first thing that comes to mind when you hear something like this. 8 a.m. classes.
No.
Oh God, they're back in sync, folks. They're back in sync. Study groups.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Science projects.
Volcano.
Paper circuits.
I don't know.
Okay, that's three. That's the last one. Favorite summer activity.
Sleeping.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with sleeping.
And last one, I wrote this down because I just happened to look at classes for chemical engineering. Intro to thermodynamics is
tough.
You heard it here, folks. And that's the end of the game. I told you, just a quick game. And that's the end of the show. I usually say my usual thing, but I'm going to switch up here. Stay safe out there. You know, hug your family. Tell someone that you love them. And, you know, just pick up a book and read. And knowledge is power. So, until then, stay cheesy, folks.